Is that Rob out there?
That's Rob right here.
Tommy Grout, Rob, how are you, sir?
Good, Tommy. How are you?
We're getting by. No complaints on my end. How about you?
Good, good. Thank you. Nice to hear your voice.
You as well.
Well, if you have the stomach for it, this is probably the most exciting market I've ever seen.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
I'm telling you, it's crazy. But if you, you know, if you've got, you've got real discipline and a real strong stomach, I mean, it's crazy. You know, the liquidation of equities generally across the board for the last, what, year? Just been liquidating equities ever since Corona. The last 4 months, they've been liquidating equities, and here we go. You know, it's just
no kidding.
It's crazy. And so you talk about a wall of worry. This baby is a cliff of worry, and you know.
Well, I thought you put it all into Tesla.
No, but I have been having some fun, and I got to admit it, and I know that's the time when you should sell, when everybody's having fun and talking about how good things are. But I just think that the majority of the people are still not in. I think that there's a lot of people just out there just watching and wishing they owned Tesla, you know? So, I think that the,
I don't think there's a lot of people wishing they own Tesla.
You don't?
Yeah.
They don't even know what Tesla is, right?
Right. Yeah.
I know. No, but you know, you were, it's just been an interesting time. I mean, if you had to, like, you know, if you had the stomach for it, and you bought the Corona stocks and you bought some of the stocks that are participating in this pandemic, you've had a pretty good time, you know? So I don't know. Maybe it's the time to get liquid, but you know, the dollar's crashing and gold is going up. I don't know what TIFFs are doing. But it's, you know, I think most portfolios are back to where they were before the crash. And people are looking up and going, my Lord, this is okay. I'm all right, you know. But that's not what we're here for. I'm just, I hadn't looked at the market today. And I looked up and I just saw some of the stocks. I saw Amazon and, I mean, my God, it's crazy, you know. Very, very fast markets, and you better be, you know, if you're patient and you just ignored everything, you just did great, you know. If you didn't, if you zigged instead of zagged, you got smashed in the face. And all those hedge funds that are still short, they're just getting crushed. So anyway, that's, I've been around, you know, almost 40 years now in the market. I've never seen anything like it. Not even close. I've seen good markets. This one is a crazy, crazy market, but right, if you're in the right areas, biotech today, oh my God, well, I've liked biotech forever. And you talk about a boring group that you never made any money on. They just kept them forever. And now, boom, everybody loves them. So.
Big name biotechs aren't doing a lot. It's all the crazy small stuff.
Yeah, they said the, I don't own the equally weighted ETF. They were talking about that. Equally weighted ETF in the biotechnology area is crushing it. So you're right. But anyway, so let's what's on your mind? That's what I just took a break to eat lunch and to look at the market, and I go, I don't this is crazy. You know, expecting a down day and boom, they all raised their estimates on Amazon and what, to 3,800, you know, you're like, wow. Okay. Let's go. We're all in.
Yeah, we have a client who, when we transferred over last February, he has a concentration. He's got like, I don't know, maybe 4,200 shares of Amazon. His accounts were like $17 million. It's like $26 million now in 15 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have some 20-some-year-olds from Amazon now that their accounts have become good accounts, even though they're in their 20s, because they had 30, 40% of their net worth in Amazon, because that's how they get their stock. It's crazy.
Well, they sacrificed a lot to get to where they are. I mean, they got a maniac running the place, and they're willing to work the hours and make the sacrifices, and they won, you know. They say that the companies, you know, I was around, you guys weren't, but do you remember the Nifty 50s from the 60s? You know, when you go back and look at the list of the Nifty 50 stocks, a lot of them aren't there anymore, most. And so our own Nifty 50 will all change, even though you think that's permanent. You know, this is it. These are the stocks that are going to win forever. No. Even Bezos said, you know, probabilities of us being around for the next 40 years are pretty slim. It's crazy. No. So anyway, John, shall we go through the, each of the directors' roles and responsibilities and see how you guys are doing?
Yeah, please.
The director of leadership is not here, so that's how we're doing.
Oh, no.
Scott's up on Torch Lake for the summer, and Jeff's getting a little frustrated with the whole situation.
You can't call in? Come on. What's wrong? I thought we worked 24/7 in this group.
Hence Jeff's frustration.
You mean 24 minutes every 7 days?
Oh, ooh.
Zinga.
Zinga. Zinga. I've got to
tell. You can tell remote working is like synergy on the team is just at all times.
Everything tightened up, right? Yeah. You guys all got your hats on. I'm going to put mine on. There you go. I saw most people don't wear their hats, but I like them. Keeps my head warm. So, all right. Let's start with planning. Chris?
Yep. He's not here either.
Chris is prospecting.
Okay. That's good.
I mean, in a nutshell with planning, though, I mean, we've always been pretty close, but we're trying to get things segregated out, so not all of our plan reviews are at the same time of year. So John's probably the furthest ahead of that, and we're just trying to get them spread out again, so it's not all happening at once, because they happen to be too many in the same month or the same time of year.
So yeah, why aren't they on 12/4/2? Why don't they just fall into
Let me expand. The issue that we're having is because last spring we transitioned. So from February 1st to whatever, call it June 1st, we did no reviews because we were moving a book of business. So those all got skipped. So we were delayed, you know, where before the annual review was hard coded into one of the 12.
Yep.
You know, so if Rob, if your annual review was every April, last year you didn't get one.
Right.
And then now COVID was the same time, you know, and so it just caused us to say, okay, we're way behind on reviews and we're trying to make up for it. And, you know, let's be more, let's get them back on not just the schedule they were on, but be thoughtful. You know, if Scott's going to be, you know, up north every July, maybe he shouldn't be doing, you know, there should be no face-to-face reviews on his calendar in July.
Right.
So that's the project we're tackling, right, Chuck?
Yep.
Yeah, because we got backloaded last fall and early winter was insane. Way too many reviews in a week. We were rushing. So even that, we wanted to spread out. We didn't want to be so concentrated. We had all these face-to-face in a few months.
Right. But let me just go back to, doesn't Supernova take care of everything?
If it's on the calendar properly.
Yeah, but you had clients that wanted to see you because we had to skip your review because we were transitioning. So to Austin's point, it just got backloaded. And then during the crisis, I feel like we started to skip face-to-faces and we didn't do them in Zoom originally, which we are doing now. So we're just trying, because we're having to schedule them in, we're trying to be more thoughtful and say, okay, I shouldn't have 12 this month and 4 this month. I should make sure we have it. We're already looking at it. Let's see if we can move it by a month or something.
Because our annual review is like an hour, hour and a half versus a call, which is 20 minutes. So like.
Time out. Okay. I'm Rob Knapp. You put me into the scheduler. I automatically populate the calendar for my two in-person meetings, right? So if you put me in today, that's my day. Okay. So a year from now, we're going to meet in person on this day. And at 6 months from now, we're going to meet in person on this day. Okay, so it's the first Tuesday of the month. This is the first Monday of the month. It's the 20th. Who cares? It doesn't matter whether it's the 20th. It's July, and it's the first, you know, it's the third Monday, whatever this is, the third Monday of the month. And so next year, this will be the same Monday, will be the same time, 9 o'clock, I get my in-person meeting.
Unless we were transitioning our business and we said, hey, Rob, your account's still from UBS. Do you mind if we do your meeting in a few months?
Yes and no. Okay. Yes. Correct. But.
that's just what happened.
That would be just a one-time thing. My calendar would still be so that my 100 clients. When you use the scheduler right, the maximum you're going to ever have on one day if you have 100 clients is 5 appointments, 1 in-person meeting, 1 review of the plan. Okay, so you got 1 in-person review of the plan and 1 other quarterly review of the plan. And the rest are just 8 other calls, but they're all equally scheduled. So you guys don't want to think about, you want to use the 12-4-2 as not review of performance, but think of it as review of the plan. Okay. And equally balanced. Use the scheduler. It already is set up to do what you're trying to do, which is to equally balance out your calendar. So yeah, you got makeups to do, but instead of it being for this year, instead of, you know, let's say my normal, it's January, you know, April, July, and October are my equally quarterly meetings, right? And so now I would normally have had a meeting in January. Well, we didn't do that. So now we have it in July. Okay, that works out great because that's, you know, 6 months later, that's when we normally have it. But let's just say it was February. So that would be, you know, August. So it'd be February and August would be the 6 month meetings. So we'll just take that now and instead of having it
Hey Rob, we're doing all that. What I would say is that we always set up the annual review based on when the account opened, and our schedules got really lopsided.
Too much.
where some weeks were too little and some weeks were too much. And so we've just been thoughtful about distributing it.
Yeah. So you just, you shouldn't have more than five a day, you know, no matter who you are and what you're doing and so forth. So I just reflect back on that. I know you guys know what you're doing, but sometimes we think of financial plans as separate from 12-4-2. And please don't. Please think think of financial plans as part of, you know, because everybody does performance review. No, it's not. It's financial plan reviews. So anyway, I digress, but I just hear that, and you can imagine from my point of view what I heard. Yeah. But you got it. Yeah. You got it. Okay. All right. Because nobody should be jammed up anytime. And sometimes you just have to tell people, sorry, we're going to do a mini review of your plan, not a big one, you know, because we don't have time. We love you. And most of the time, clients are fine. They don't. And by the way, I'd never do a review that lasts for more than 50 minutes. Okay. There's no reason. I had one guy that said, he's got a $60 million client and said, I said, how often are you going to see him? He said, once a year. I said, yeah, we spend the whole day together. I said, that's great. But, you know, in the other 11 months, somebody's going to steal the account, right? So my attitude is, look, spread it out over the year and you get that many hours of coaching for them so that your in-person meeting doesn't need to go the more than 50 minutes. That's why you have an agenda. The agenda keeps you on track and you say, hey, love it. I love you. I don't care if the guy's got $100 million. He doesn't want to sit there for 3 hours. Unless you're doing estate planning or you've got, you know, some big deal coming in, you know, selling his business or something, a regular, you know, financial planning review can be done in 50 minutes. You just go to the action steps. You know, they know, they love you, they respect you. Just anyway, that's just me, because I don't like to sit for a long time and, you know, hear a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Right. I want to go. I'm an alpha. You know, I'm give me what I need to do. And if I trust you, I'm going to probably do it. If I don't, I'll tell you why and what I need to hear. So, you know, I think your average client, anyway, if you need to take an hour and a half, you take it, because there's a lot of planning involved. But, you know, the regular review, you've done the plan. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's just try and manage your time, you know, have them come in. And I love Zoom, by the way. I think this thing is just killing it's just doing great for productivity. You guys don't have to travel. You don't have them traveling. You get the work done and God bless, you can, you know, they have more time to go play golf at the country club. They'd rather do that than meet with you.
Yeah, so, this is going to be the norm.
Yeah, I think it is. I really do. I think it's going to. I met with a guy today on introductions, right? Center of Influence. And we went through and shared about 3 or 4 different introductions with each other and said, hey, this is great. Let's do it once a month. You know, it's Bill Cates, who is the referral coach, and I like him, and I like his work. He likes my work, and, you know, we're just going to meet and talk and share ideas and then share names and introductions. And we could get all that done without an in-person meeting or any of that garbage, you know? So anyway, all right, implementation, 24-month calendar.
Yeah, that's me. We've had some adjustments to the 24-month calendar schedule that I had done at the start of the year because of COVID. But in general, we're on track. I guess the challenge that I continue to have is we are not utilizing the and we believe in it, and we want to get better at utilizing the enthusiastically endorsed list. But we're having a hard time. Our challenge is we don't want it to be phony. Hey, client, I want to go through a list. You know, do you know an orthodontist? Do you know an estate attorney? you know, a whatever. So we've wanted, we've been trying to compile the list more conversationally, and it's just not happening. And so I guess I'm looking for some suggestions here on how we can.
I'd just say, look, everybody, this month, you asked permission. What I'd like to do is tell you what we're doing. We're putting together a list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in our community. It can be such a big, huge help to anybody that we do business with that we want to take a little bit of a survey here. And this month, all we're going to do is ask you about your CPA. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? They're going to say, they're going to be positive, negative, or neutral. And most of the time, they're going to say he's okay. You know, he's fine. The other times they're going to say he's terrible. I want a new one. So you got to figure 10% of the time you're going to have an opportunity for an introduction.
Yeah.
You ask 100 people, 10 of them are going to want a new one.
Yeah.
10 are going to be enthusiastic and say, you got to meet this guy. He's terrific. Or gal. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect it to be like, you know, 50% of the time they're going to be enthusiastic. They're not. See, for God's sakes, it's a CPA, okay?
Plus, yeah. John, you're so type A that you have to, like, weave off of a tangent to get to ask for, like, something other than a CPA. But I think you and I have done a good job of, do you like your CPA? Do you like your attorney? But we just never seem to go, we haven't gone deeper than that. Has been the bigger problem, at least for me, I guess. You know, I had the prospect that was in asked if she liked her divorce attorney, loved her, liked the CPA. CPA was okay. Like, no problem asking those questions. It's just getting the list deeper than that. Part of it, we have to have more conversation. Maybe like, oh, you had your nip or your knee replaced. How was, you know, you have to, that comes in a conversation. We have to have that conversation.
And you, and remember to use the term, remember words are your scalpels. Words are your tools that you need. So use the term, can you enthusiastically endorse? It's very much different from like. Liking somebody's great, you know. Yeah, I like him. He's a nice guy. But I won't refer him because he's incompetent.
And so if somebody, let's just say, using Jeff's example, it's a knee surgeon enthusiastically endorsed.
Terrific, yeah.
Would you reach out to the person on LinkedIn and say, hey, our client has enthusiastically endorsed you, would love to refer you to others, can we grab lunch?
Not yet, John.
Okay.
So we're going to do, this month we're going to do, you know, let's pick them. Well, let's use, you know, let's just say doctors in general this month. And we'll have five people, you know, let's just say it's, you know, orthopedic surgeons. We'll just try that. Okay. That's a little tighter than I want for this question. But, you know, you go through and go, have you had a chance or had the unfortunate opportunity to use a orthopedic surgery or know someone that has? Yeah, my wife just replaced her two knees. Good. By the way, who was it? What was the experience like? You know, and they're going to tell you whether it was terrible or good right there. And so you'd enthusiastically endorse him. Is that correct? Or would you enthusiastically endorse him? And he goes, yeah, he's terrific. Good. Now what you do is you get all the survey that you did for that and see how many crossovers you have. How many people enthusiastically endorse this particular surgeon in your community? And now you've got a conversation, right? We had 6 of our 100 clients enthusiastically endorse you because you've done such a great job. And just tell them what you have. We have this list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in the community. And before we add someone to that list, we always meet them. We'll never put anybody on the list that we haven't met. I'd love the opportunity to get to know you and just tell you a little bit about what we do and find out specifically whether you're taking new patients and et cetera, et cetera. And if they won't, if they won't see you, then you don't endorse them.
Yeah. So do you think it would be too much to have this as an agenda item once a quarter?
I would have it an agenda item every month.
You would?
Yeah, you said you were going to do that.
John, I wonder if we could think of, you know, an easier way to ask is if we said, hey, we have a client that has to have X.
No, I think it's better to say we have this.
What are you doing?
Enthusiast endorsed list, because we want to promote it to the clients. We want them thinking of us to call when they need a podiatrist or whatever.
Right. Somebody's got, you know, I mean, look, this is a very valuable thing you're doing for the community. Nobody does this. Even Angie's List doesn't do this, right? These are professionals. This is, if you need a psychologist or psychiatrist or a, you know, and people go through like four psychiatrists, especially Jeff, somebody like you.
Four at once.
Right. Somebody like you is going to go through three of them before you get to one that you can stand or will put up with you. Anyway, the point is that you need more than one of these guys, and because they specialize in unique things. You know, we're great at dealing with trauma. You know, somebody that's suffering from PTSD. That's what I do. That's what I do for a living. And so how valuable would that be to a mom whose son just came back from Iraq and got his brain shattered by the experience, right? And you come in with the solution. And, you know, maybe it's not the solution, but at least you got something to say rather than that's too bad about your son.
You know what, Rob? I'm done. I pulled up my 24 month calendar. Every month it's going to be on there. That's all we're doing. And I'm going to put down the topic. So, I mean, I think we can be general. It's a doctor, you know.
Yeah.
Can you enthusiastically endorse a doctor? Well, you know, my primary sucks, but yeah, my orthopedic's awesome. Okay,
right.
Cool. Tell me about him.
Right. And if your primary sucks, guess what?
We'll have someone for you.
Would you be open to the opportunity to meet somebody that is enthusiastically endorsed by the community?
And
sure.
So do you have a, you know, I'll call it a quick little form letter that you put in, hey, you reach out to this doctor, or do you just, because I mean, a doctor, I don't know, am I going to call him and leave that on his voicemail? Probably not. I think LinkedIn seems to be the way I would reach
Listen,
out. I don't know.
Doctors are... Do you know the dental profession at all?
Yes.
Do you know dental surgeons, the guys that, do you know how they get all their business?
From dentists.
Right. You don't think these guys understand the referral business?
Yeah.
They're masters of it. They go to conferences to learn this stuff. They know, they understand. If they've got a center of influence that's going to send them a bunch of business, that's money in their pocket. And they get no business if it doesn't come from Dennis. Now you're another source. Guess what? They'll see you.
Okay.
I mean, I've got a buddy that this is what he did, right? Oral surgery. And he told me, yeah, I lived off of these four dentists that sent me business.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they get it. These guys aren't idiots. They know, especially now, you know, they can't operate and can't see people. And they're like, yeah, send me business, send me money.
Yeah.
So they pretend that they're like, you know, everything's great. And they're just businessmen like us. So, yeah. So yeah, do it. And make it something that you guys are really proud of. It's a really good list of the best people in your community. So just practice the words. Get the words right. Can you enthusiastically endorse your doctor? Well, which one? You know, I'm 74. I've got 12 of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great conversation. Nobody asks. Nobody cares about them and their doctor. They'd love to talk about this stuff. You just have to be patient to sift through it. And most people like their doctors or they wouldn't be with them, but you know, they move and think about a CEO that's moving into your core, into your market and you meet them and say, look, we have this list and we compiled it over the years of the best people in the community, enthusiastically endorsed people in the community. And what I'd like to do is have the opportunity to share with you some of the people on this list. Now you're going to give them all of them. You're going to say, look, you know, the first things you're going to need are a realtor, right? But in order to get a realtor, you got to know what are the areas of the community where you have kids that are high school age. What's the best district in our area for schools? How are they ranked? Here's the rankings. And this is the best school, and this is the director of this school. And I'll arrange for an introduction to you, for you. If you'd like to have you meet with them and decide whether this is the right place for your kids. Wow, that would be awesome. And this is the realtor to find that knows that area better than anybody else and can find you the right house that fits for you. Okay, that's good. Now we start with that, right? And then we go to other things that they're going to need. At this point, you're going to need a bunch of other things. But you don't give it out for free, okay? You make sure that this guy is going to end up being a good, you know, hopefully a good relationship and will be a center of influence for you or a client. And then you give him the dentist and the doctor and the rest of them. But you've got a piece of gold when you go to the work of creating this thing. And yeah. Everybody is going to want it. And so you don't give it out. And no jerks allowed. No jerks on the list. And you don't give it to any jerks. So you interview every person that goes on the list. And you interview every person you're going to give it to. So everybody on the team says, you know, this is a sacred list. We're not wasting this. Because it'll ruin it. If you have a jerk on there and then when things get a little clearer, you pull that group together and you give them a little recognition. You take them out, you know, for a dinner cruise or you know, with their spouses and you have them meet each other and they go, wow, this is a pretty elite group. Everybody has passed the test that's in this, on this dinner cruise, and they refer to each other and they get to know each other. And you are then, a professional connector, and you'll get the credit. Yeah. I think that this is enough, by the way, with what you're doing now. If you did this and you did it really well, this is enough. You wouldn't need anything else.
Yeah.
To build your practice. But here's the other test. No one does it. Okay?
Yeah.
So think, well, that's a lot of work. I don't know if we want to. Congratulations. Things that are a lot of work, nobody does. They're not organized enough. They're not willing to do the work. They're not willing to keep it up. So guess what? You win because they quit. You know, they get to where you were on this idea and then they quit.
Yeah.
It's okay, but guess what? They don't get the benefits then. So yeah. you gotta keep driving it and keep driving it until you start to see the benefits. And you will. You will. I mean, you know, you can feel it now. You get it. But you gotta stay fired up. So you just have to make it part of what you talk about every single week with the team. When you go to, and that's really a marketing idea. It really falls under the marketing director. So the marketing director should be the one driving that. Okay. So Jeff, sorry, really falls under you. The 24-month calendar can be, John, you can do that and you can put that on there at Jeff's direction, what you're going to focus on this month. Okay.
So I already, that's on tomorrow, our FA meeting tomorrow morning. Yep, it's on the agenda.
Okay. All right. In terms of brand management, Supernova, operations, service, how's that go? That's also you, John.
Brand management, you mean from a marketing quality approach, Jeff?
No, brand management, we put director of brand management, we put Supernova under their operations and service. And you took that as your role and responsibility to make sure that we did Supernova right and that we had rapid response to problems and the 1242 and segmented the clients and all that. That falls under brand. And the reason I called it brand management instead of operations and service or Supernova service is because you're protecting your brand. Remember, the brand isn't determined by your best client, but your worst.
I would put it to the other way. I think it's going great. I mean, Chuck could comment on it, but and Natalie is a phenomenal person that directs the schedule every day. And so, our adherence is perfect to it. And, I'm still always amazed that, every single client picks up the phone the exact second they're supposed to have their call. I mean, you get the occasional person here or there where there's a schedule, something came up and they forgot, but it's just, it's awesome.
It's great.
We're all doing it. It's who we are.
Terrific. Terrific. All right. Director of Growth.
Who?
Growth. Marketing. Jeff. You. You should be on the CNBC halftime report. You're perfect for it.
Wonderful. Not sure how to take that.
Well, those guys are always sharp, they're always coming up with something funny and nailing each other, and it's cool. You'd be good at it.
So the frustration, I think, has just been adjusting to trying to grow our practice without being able to visit people face to face. Personally, I've gotten a bunch of referrals. I was just lamenting to John. I think I've gotten more referrals in the last month than I've gotten my whole career, but they haven't been the best referrals. And it's not because the clients didn't know. The clients just didn't know what the referrals had. A great example is met with somebody this morning and they wanted to meet. But they were going to inherit over $3 million, but they have siblings. So, it ends up getting divided. It's still an account, but it's hard to get excited. Sorry.
That's perfect.
And John was saying, hey, we've been getting, I got introduced to a potential huge client. And so then I got to know all the major partners of it and sent out emails, introductions, but that's kind of where it stopped. I know they're busy, but it's just harder when you can't have the same interaction. So we're just adjusting, wondering if maybe it'll be a longer sales cycle. If everyone gets used to doing business more virtual, I don't know.
One of the skills I want you to learn.
John, you're muted.
Okay.
Sorry, I was just saying to Jeff. Hey, Jeff. As an aside, as part of that, I have a call with Joe Hardig in like an hour or so. That woman. Can we refer her to him for estate planning? Or do you want to wait and?
I would just prepare the ground for it. I would refer her. That's fine. Once we have, the money.
Because I'd like to brainstorm with Joe as how can we attack the other members of the company that are being unresponsive to your LinkedIn requests, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a you know, maybe there's some urgency we can throw at them.
So essentially, Rob, guy founded a personal protection equipment company before this,
wow,
has government connections, and essentially signed a distribution agreement with 3M to distribute all of this. And again, he was a liaison to a huge tire manufacturer, so he had all the government contracts. He also was a retired colonel. And so, you know, they're anticipating $1 to $9 billion in sales.
Phew.
Eight people.
Nice.
So, someone at my church came up to me and asked me, hey, would you take me on as a client? You know, she'll probably get, we don't know, 5 to 25 million as an executive assistant.
Wow.
And then she gave me all the CEO's information. So, like I said, I've sent them LinkedIn invitations. They've accepted them. I've sent them emails. Haven't heard anything back yet. But they're also extremely busy right now with everything going on.
So is your the best connection you have is your friend at church?
Correct.
Can she does she have the clout to set up an appointment?
She said that the best way to get a hold, she said that they're working like 20 hours. So she had said the best way is, she sent an email in to me and the president together saying, hey, this is Jeff, as you know, so and so. So like she made that introduction, but that's as far as we've got. Again, it's early. They have a lot going on. It's
there
an example of things that are going on.
Is there a liquidity event here? Are they raising capital? Are they going public?
But yeah, they're going to be paying out as sales bonuses for a lot of these. And again, if you think there's even if there's a 5% margin on that, it's huge. But yes, they're all going to get paid out. They're all are relocating residences to Florida as primaries. They're doing all the things from tax savings. Chuck's talking. So I reached out to their corporate attorney as well, who also accepted my invitation on LinkedIn and asked, hey, is there anything, any introductions that we can help with? So we'll work it. Eventually, I think we'll get maybe some, but it's more of an example of John's done the same thing with a couple of contacts. You know, the lag time seems a lot longer than, hey, let's just go grab a beer, or let's have a meeting, or let's do this, because of the environment we're in.
For some reason, it seems like the number of soft referrals has increased dramatically, I think is what we're saying. And we're having a hard time turning that soft referral into a prospect.
Okay. you may say, Rob, that we do that, but let me tell you, what I hear is the space between where you want to be and where you are. You're getting the referral. You're not getting the meeting.
Correct.
Okay. You're leaving the first appointment without a meeting.
We're not getting the first appointment.
Well, no, you are. You're getting the introduction.
Yes.
But the introduction isn't an introduction the way you want it. Okay. When I, for example, I'm going to give Bill Cates an introduction. Now, I gave him the name. He said, I'll go through a friend of mine and see if I can get to meet this guy. I said, no, Bill, I'm going to set up a Zoom call for you, me, and this manager, because I want him to meet you, and at the same time on that call I'll endorse you, and then I'll get off and you close him, basically. And he said, oh, that'd be great. I said, well, that's what we do with every introduction, or we don't consider it an introduction. If we don't give you an opportunity to tell your story, that's not an introduction. That's a name that has virtually no power behind it. So It's all in the wording. Okay.
Okay.
So you give me a name, right? So we go through the VPSA process. We went through the whole thing and, we get to the point where you've given me six names of people you think are valuable. And now I circle back and ask you to tell me about one of them, one that's most important. And you tell me about this person. And then I say to you, how would you suggest that we meet? I always say, so for example, you know this person a lot better than I do. How would you suggest that we meet? And he'll say, well, I don't know. And I say, well, the very best way would be, exactly what I say. Why don't we do blank? Okay. So why don't we do a Zoom call like this? How would that work? You go, oh, that's great. Or no, I don't know. How the next best would be, how about if we do a telephone conference call? Well, let's just say they said yes to the Zoom call. Now, you still must maintain control. See, this is a control thing. So I've got control now. We've agreed on a Zoom call. Now what I say is this. Okay, today is, today's Monday, the 20th. Are you going to see him this week? Are you going to talk to him this week? Yes. Okay. So why don't we will you talk to him this week and tell him, why don't we set it up for next Monday about this time? Would that work? No, I've got this. How about 4 o'clock? Yeah, that would work. All right. So we're going to do a Zoom call next Monday at 4 o'clock. If I don't hear from you by, say, what, Thursday or Friday, I will call you and follow up. Is that okay? Yes. So I have his number here for the Zoom call. I have your number. I'll set it up for next week. You tell me when I send him the invitation. Okay, let's do it by Thursday if we could. Boom. Now I've got control. See, I can't follow up on 50 leads, right? I mean, I want to fill or kill this thing, right? You may think, oh, this is great. It's going to be huge. Well, great. If we don't get it, it's not worth anything to us. So let's close them or let's move on, right? Yep. So if we can't close them for a Zoom call or a conference call, we don't really have an introduction. We got a name and we got a hope. Okay.
That's all we have other than the one client for me anyway.
Yeah, you got a name and you got a hope. And so what you have to do is get her to set up a Zoom call or a conference call.
Right.
If she can't do that, you don't have an introduction.
Right.
Right. And let me tell you something. You're much more valuable now than after they do the deal. Right. Because this is when you do your planning. If it's
right.
You know, if they're getting a chunk of money, however it's from an offering or a distribution or whatever.
Yeah, it'll be a distribution.
So they, you know, this is when you do the estate. If it's big enough, right, it's 25 million or something, they're going to, you do your planning now and put it in the kid's name and da-da-da so you don't get it distributed to you and then give it to the kids and then you got estate planning issues and all that stuff, right? So you know this stuff. So don't accept an introduction without an appointment that's set up. So you do it just very matter-of-factly. This is where we are. This is where we'll be. Let's get it done. And then you'll find out whether, and I find that everybody's like so relieved that you're going to take care of all this. You're going to do the conference call. You're going to do the Zoom call. You're going to take care of everything. He just has to tell you it's okay and what time. And that's, you see, John, how that works?
Yeah, no, that's great. Like you're saying, otherwise it's not a real, I mean, why waste your time? If the giver can't set up a Zoom, it's not real.
Right. If they can't set up a conference call, a Zoom, something. You know, the worst you're going to do is an email introduction. Okay. So you do a Zoom, you do a, you know, I used to say you do an in-person meeting. Forget about that right now. So you do a Zoom, you do a conference call, and then you do an email introduction. You can't get an email introduction. You got nothing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just, you know, banging around on LinkedIn, begging people for, you know, calling them. They don't call you back. It's just, wait a minute. You know, this isn't the way professionals work.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's very valuable, okay, to you guys, because I found the difference between that, like when I'm doing some prospecting with you guys, with other people, I can't handle a lot of introductions. I got to get them, you know, I get them lost, right? I don't have a great pipeline tool myself. So I got to close them or get rid of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys can have, you can have a robust pipeline tool and all the wonderful things, and you should, and I recommend it, but I just know personally, I can keep them on my desk in front of me, and if I get them off of there, I'm afraid of where they go, right? So, anyway.
Thank you. I think that's helpful.
Yeah. It's just a skill. It's just a skill. You know, there's knowledge and then there's skill training. And the skill training is something we don't spend enough time doing. If you were a golfer, we'd be spending lots and lots of time on, there's all the psychological, there's, you know, other mental stuff that you know, and there's knowledge of the game and the course, but there's skill training about how do you hit that wedge, you know, 140 yards in the wind with a little fade so it stops right where you want it. That's a skill. You got to practice. So when you say, what's our skill? Our skill is asking for and getting introductions and using the right words to do it. Okay. So it's very important that you use the advice model here. You ask for their advice on how to do it. You know him a lot better than I do. How would you suggest that we meet? They're going to stumble, and then you're going to help them with the answer. So you say, hey, how about if we do a Zoom call? Would that work? So start with the one you want. How about we do a Zoom call? Oh, that'd be great. How would that work? Well, let's see. Today is, boom, Monday. Why don't you get in touch with him, get me the information, and I'll sign him up for the Zoom call. Let's say next Monday at this time at 4:00. If that time won't work, get back to me. If I don't hear from you by Thursday, I'll give you a call back. Would that work? Now you see, I've got complete control of that whole situation. They're not going to call me. I'm going to call them if I don't hear from them. Okay, so they're on the hook. They know what they're supposed to do. They're getting the job done. So if I don't hear from you by Thursday, I'll give you a call. Will that work? Oh, no, I'll take care of it. Don't you worry. Okay, good. But I've got to set up the Zoom call because you control the Zoom call. You control the conference call. And they go, okay, great. And people will do that. You just have to tell them how to do it because they don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. They don't give introductions all the time. And then when you get on the call, they endorse you and tell you why you're great. So you don't have to. The more they can say about you, the better. So you don't have to say it. And you can tell them to say that. When we first get on the call, if there's something that you value about what we do for you, please articulate that. And they go, okay, great. So they tell them how great you are. And then they can stay on or they can jump off. A lot of people don't want to talk with somebody, one of their friends on the call. So they jump off, and then you guys You guys follow up. And remember, when you're on that call, you close for something else. Okay? So clearly, you'd like to close for the business, right? So you get on the Zoom call, you'd like to close him. So you ask a bunch of questions and have him talk the most of the time. And if it looks like you can close him, close him. And close him for, but at least close him for another Zoom call or another action. But never leave a call without the next step.
So Rob, can I throw out a next step for you?
Yep.
So the proposal. So I'm a member at Oakland Hills in Michigan. I don't know if you've played there.
No, but I'd love to.
So we're redoing the South Course.
Yep.
It's supposed to be open next June. And I know you're a huge golfer. So if you're open to it, we'd love to have you next summer to come play.
Yay.
And if you have somebody you think would be a good fit for the group, we'd love for you to bring them. I think you've seen, we've taken your advice to heart. We do a really good job for our clients.
Yeah, you do.
And would love for you to bring somebody that you think would be a great fit.
Hopefully. That's a great invitation. Yeah.
So we'll follow up on our next call, but if you want to put some thought to it, and then we can link back up on the next.
It's a great idea, because I do run into people, and sometimes I don't know how to move them along to the next stage or why one group over another or whatever. So that would be a thrill.
Great.
And that would be a fun trip.
Absolutely. We can tack on some other courses as well. There's a lot of good golf here. So. Yeah.
Well, no, that would be enough, but that's wonderful. Yeah. And good call. That's, you got to ask or you never get, right?
Exactly.
So,
all right, Rob, I got it. 2:00. Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rob.
See you. All right.
Yeah, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Take care, Rob.
Bye.